In May 2021, the German government acknowledged responsibility for colonial-era genocide against Namibia's Herero and Nama peoples over 100 years ago. But activists who've long campaigned for reparations say the compensation on offer doesn't truly reflect the appalling suffering of the thousands who died. We've been to find out why.
You see, on the background over here, that's the Namib Desert. The sand will come and bury everything. But for some reason, the sand, the dunes, refuse to bury these people because their spirits are strong and they want their story to be told. We are in the Swakopmund Cemetery. In my background is the people who died in the concentration camp.
In this desert and across Namibia, between 1904 and 1908, German colonial forces displaced and killed up to 80% of the Herero tribe, some 80,000 people. Other ethnic groups, like the Nama and the San, also suffered grievously at the hands of the colonists. 10,000 Nama died, half their population, as well as an unknown number of San. This was the first genocide of the 20th century, but by no means the last. In many ways, Imperial Germany's treatment of the indigenous people of Namibia foreshadowed the barbarity of the Nazi Holocaust against the Jews and other groups during World War II.
The concentration camps were really, that's where almost a lot of our people perished from malnutrition. And a lot of them were forced to work on the railway, and they basically worked them to death.
Herero activist Jephthah Guhirimo has spent most of his adult life fighting for international acknowledgement of the genocide and restitution for the descendants of the victims.
I joined this struggle based on the stories that I recall my grandmother told me, and then when I started, as an adult, I started learning more and learning more. And ever since, I have never rested.
Finally, this year, the activism of people like Jephthah appears to have paid off. In May, the German Foreign Minister, Heiko Maas, made a groundbreaking announcement.
Wir bezeichnen heute diese Ereignisse jetzt auch offiziell als das, was sie gewesen sind, ein Völkermord. Wir bekennen uns damit auch zu unserer historischen Verantwortung. Und im Lichte dieser historischen und auch moralischen Verantwortung Deutschlands werden wir Namibia und die Nachkommen der Opfer um Vergebung bitten.
A few months later, Namibia and Germany announced a draft agreement, which, say both sides, will bring closure to this dark chapter of history. If it goes ahead, Germany will formally apologize to Namibia and pay 1.1 billion euros in compensation, spread over 30 years. But for Jephthah and many other Herero, the agreement is deeply problematic. In September, when the bill was presented to the Namibian parliament, protesters travelled from near and far to oppose it.
It's a peaceful march, but quite a very important march because it is raising a number of issues, rejecting the 1.1 billion quantum that the Germans wants to pay us, the very same amount of money that the Germans have already given to Namibians for the last 31 years is the same amount they want to pay us.
Jephthah has travelled from the United States, where he now lives, to campaign against the agreement. He visits Namibia's parliament, the site of the protest. It was built using forced labour of captured Herero and Nama genocide survivors.
This is a very painful moment for me, standing on this ground, and simply because this area, there used to be a concentration camps where our ancestors were kept and were forced to work as slave labor.
My grandmother used to told me about the genocide.
It began in 1904 after the Herero and Nama rebelled against German colonists who were aggressively seizing their land. In response, the head of the military administration of what was then German Southwest Africa, General Lotte von Trotter, issued an order to his troops to exterminate all Herero, men, women, and children. After defeating the Herero militarily, the Germans herded the survivors eastward into the inhospitable Omaheke Desert. The intent? To kill them through hunger and thirst.
The flight to the east and how our people perish, and the disposition of their land, disposition of their cattle, and all those then the experience in the concentration camps. My grandmother's mother were captured by the Germans and sent to Lutrecht, Chuck Island, in concentration camps. And from there, they worked as slave labor. Some of them died, and the few who survived, basically, that's why I'm here today.
But his grandfather's mother wasn't so lucky.
My great-grandmother was too old and tired to walk, and she was left behind. They left her under a tree to die. And that's actually the story that really sparked my interest, is like how she died. A death without dignity.
Almost every Herero person has a story like this to tell. That's why Jefta is documenting Herero opposition to the agreement. He travels from the capital Windhoek to Okahandja to meet the acting chief of the Herero.
The Hereros were sent to these remote areas to serve as a labor pool for the white communities or white industrialists. The present and the past is hard to distinguish, but it's been particular in these areas.
Jefta meets Vipuera Kapoor, currently the acting chief of the Over Herero Traditional Authority, which represents most Herero in Namibia. The chief wore his official uniform in honor of the moment. We put this to Ruprecht Pollens, Germany's chief negotiator. He says that under international law, such negotiations can only take place between states, not individual groups.
There are many groups who say, unfortunately, we were not part of the negotiations. And if I would start to count these groups, I come easily about 10, 15, 20 groups who are complaining not to have been included.
But, argues Kapoor, after the Holocaust, Germany didn't only negotiate with the State of Israel. It also negotiated directly with many Jewish groups. The outcome, says Kapoor, is that the Namibian government has failed to secure direct compensation for the Herero. Instead, the 1.1 billion euros which Germany plans to pay will be administered by the Namibian government. The once prosperous Herero, having lost their land and their much-prized cattle after the genocide, now live, for the most part, in abject poverty. Jefta visits Veneveni Kauri, who's one of many Herero struggling to survive.
Mm.
And it's not only Vinavini's generation who are suffering. Barring some kind of intervention, her children are unlikely to escape the cycle of poverty. And making life even harder, the government has recently decreed that they must move to an even more remote location.
Mbanjira shwa kakango, noskole kwiri, mundungu makavada mungapi, mopendura pongapi, akavada pongapi. Shwa pendura pondano, odo iri nduma kaonjo, odo iri mbari makavada koskole, shimia mbanjo skole ya hiti.
It's too much. It's too emotional for me.
And what's going to happen? Them taking chucks like far away, and the kids, and that means the kids have to walk like another 2 hours to school. And the kids have nothing to eat. The government has abandoned them.
And it's not just in the villages that poverty amongst the Herero is rife. It's the same in urban areas. Jefta travels to Swakopmund, a picturesque coastal town popular with German tourists. But on the outskirts of the town, Herero people live in bleak informal settlements. Jefta meets Lawrence and Dura, who moved from the countryside to the city in search of a better life.
He has been here for 9 years now at this place, and this is where he lives. No electricity, no running water. All the cattle died of drought, and so there's no work. So the best they can come is come here, try to forage some food from in the city.
Lawrence invites Jefta into his shack.
Traditional things.
Are you selling us?
My yes. Girlfriend selling. Do it yourself by hand. This is a type of a genocide. This one is linked to the genocide woman. It's also a genocide woman here, right? Yes, genocide.
Why is that a genocide woman?
Lawrence tells us that to make ends meet, his girlfriend must sell these genocide dolls to German tourists.
Before the genocide, my great-grandfather was involved in the concentration camp. He was at the Lutherans concentration camp.
At the Lutherans concentration
camp? Yeah, between 1904 and 1908, genocide.
So what do you think about the Germans today?
Germans today, they have to pay for what they did to our great-grandparent, because that one is the wound that take long in our lifetime. Money is the only thing that can make changes. We can buy our land back, we can buy our animals, then we start with the farming process. Yeah, we're living like we feel that we are in a concentration camp, because the life that we are living here is not good to us.
These young people over here, you see running in the streets over here, they will have nothing to lose but to demand their land back. And that's exactly what's going to happen. This situation is unacceptable, and it's unacceptable.
The sense of economic and political marginalization among the Herero has heightened their mistrust of SWAPO, the ruling party in Namibia since 1990. It's amplified the feeling that the government mishandled the genocide negotiations with Germany. We tried to put this to the Namibian government, but despite numerous requests, no government official granted us an interview. We did, however, manage to speak to Professor Fanuel Kapama, one of Namibia's chief negotiators. He himself is Herero.
My great-grandmother was a brother of Samuel Muharero, who led the Herero people during the war of colonial resistance.
The agreement, Kapama told us, was the best the Namibian government could achieve, given Germany's tough negotiating tactics.
They have always shied away from even mentioning the word genocide. But the bigger challenge was on the quantum, which has remained a very key issue to the point that it almost derailed. Then there is no reference to the word reparation.
Why is Germany so allergic to this term reparations?
The negotiations, in our view, have been for political and moral reasons. This was not a legal question. We avoided legal speech to avoid this kind of misunderstanding, and reparation is a legal term, and therefore we spoke about healing the wounds, which means in a sense probably the same, but not in a legal term.
But, says Kapama, the negotiations were less about healing wounds than they were about avoiding legal liability.
That was a very heavy debate. Later on, they came around and said that, okay, if we agree to pay reparation, then we will do away with development aid. And we said, no, those are two different things. For the victim community,
there's good reason why Germany's keen to avoid any payments being labelled as reparations, says Henning Melber, a Namibian academic and activist.
There were war crimes during World War II committed in Italy, in Greece, in Poland, and in other Eastern European societies, where local courts there ruled that the German government should pay reparations to the descendants.
Germany's refused to accept liability for such claims. But, says Melba, if reparations were paid to Namibia, that might set a legal precedent.
Then these rulings would be seen in another light, and then it would become really expensive for Germany.
So, with direct reparations seemingly off the table, what about the Herero demand that they should get their land, or at least some of it, returned to them? But any discussion about the return of land must involve its current owners, mostly white Namibian farmers who possess vast tracts of it. Jefter visits Kurt Volbling, a German Namibian who speaks fluent Herero. He owns a 15,000-hectare farm in the Waterberg, the region which used to be inhabited by the Herero until the Germans began their campaign of annihilation against them in 1904.
My great-great-grandfather came here in 1907, which was just after the German Herero War. And farming here and living in close relationship with the Oberherero communities bordering to our fence. And it's very much farming related, but of course it brings together our different cultures as well.
But when it comes to addressing the past, Volbling, like other white German Namibian farmers in the region, deny that this land used to belong to the Herero.
This land was 100 years before that it was not inhabited by Herero-speaking people, to the knowledge I do have.
While touring the farm, Jefter raises the land issue.
I don't think just buying land and giving it back will improve the situation dramatically. I doubt that one. I think we have to develop the area, we have to develop the people, investing in a better tomorrow, like education and infrastructure, schools and hospitals, that people really feel that their life is improving.
Jefter also wants to know if they can reach a common understanding about the past.
Do you deny that there was a genocide, or you don't deny it?
I don't question the harm which was done to Herero people. Yeah, they lost many of their land. They lost almost all their cattle, and they lost half of the population.
Yet, says Volbling, he doesn't believe the mass murder of Herero was sanctioned by the government of the time.
If there would have been the initial thought of eradicating a certain tribe, but there was not an intention, and the relationship to the Holocaust is for me, it is far-fetched.
But Jefta's next visit illustrates that for many Herero, historical links between the genocide and the Holocaust aren't far-fetched at all. He travels to Shark Island, which used to be a notorious concentration camp. Herero and Nama, who survived death in the desert, were brought here and used as slave labor.
This site is where our ancestors were kept, and the Germans set up this concentration camp, and they used to call, historians call it the death camp. My great-grandmother was at this site, and luckily she later, when the people started complaining, that she was transferred to Swakopmund.
But most of the Herero and Nama who were held here didn't survive.
A lot of people perished. Death and starvation was what killed a lot of people over here, and when they die, their body were thrown in the sea.
And those who weren't worked to death were subjected to other horrors.
And this is where they did their medical experiment on the Nama and Herero people. Medical experiment. Based on my grandmother, they were fascinated with some of the Herero people. They have like a blood, their gums are like darker than others. So they will scrape that and scrape that until it bleeds to find out what is the cause of that. I don't know what was the whole point, but the bottom line is this was their biggest fear was to go to that medical center. As they knew that once you go there, you are not going to be alive.
In that medical center, prisoners were subjected to many forms of systematic abuse, like being injected with diseases such as smallpox, typhus, and tuberculosis, or poisons like arsenic.
They were also used as human material for eugenic research.
In order to conduct the pseudoscientific research, German doctors sent the skulls of deceased prisoners back to Germany, aiming to scientifically prove the racial inferiority of Africans.
Thousands of human remains, skulls, skeletons, and so on, were transported back to the German Empire. Those human remains are in German basements of museums, of hospitals. And only in 2011, I think, for the first time, a few of them were returned to Namibia.
The man overseeing these inhumane practices was eugenicist Dr. Eugene Fischer. He and other colonial officials
later became prominent leading figures in the race ideology of Nazi Germany.
These are Auschwitz.
But unlike at Germany's Auschwitz, there's no official recognition at Shark Island of the crimes which were perpetrated here.
There is no mention about the Hereros at all. It's now a camping site, so I'm sure a lot of Germans, they come here and camp, and Namibians, they come and camp as if this is just a normal place.
So where to now for the Herero and their struggles for justice and reparations?
What do you say to German Namibians who say there wasn't a genocide here? That's not fair.
What do I say to them? Nothing. We are going to get our land back. And how we're going to take it, I don't know. But I'm certain, just the way I was certain that one day Germany will be willing to apologize properly, just the way I was certain that Germany one day will pay reparation, even though they're saying we are going to give you like a gesture or development, and it's just things will happen. The Herero people are resilient people. From what we have gone through, what my people have gone through, from genocide, dispossession, concentration camp, and for my father and my great-grandparents to reconstitute themselves and send me to school, and they walk straight. They didn't walk with their head down. And so that's the way I'm going to walk. I will walk straight with my head up.